Get on up.
Everybody right there.
Get into it.
Everybody right there.
Get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Join the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce and the Flemington Community Partnership for their Card Club networking event hosted by Northfield Bank on Thursday, September 28th from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at Northfield Bank's Flemington office right here on Main Street. For details and to RSVP, visit hunterdon-chamber.org or call 908-782-7115. See you there.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
America does not bend. We do not waver. And we will never, ever yield.
President Trump at today's 9/11 memorial about the fighting spirit of America.
Here at this memorial, with hearts both sad and determined, we honor every hero who keeps us safe and free. And we pledge to work together, to fight together, and to overcome together every enemy and obstacle that's ever in our path.
Search crews are going door to door in the Florida Keys, lending a hand to those hit by Hurricane Irma. Irma destroyed roadways, cutting off people who stayed in the Keys as it thrashed the island chain yesterday. The military joining the efforts using C-130 cargo planes to distribute water and supplies in the lower Keys. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, my name is Kip Herridge, and I'm the founder of the Vertical Research Advisory, or VRA. I've been in the investment business for 32 years, managing money for the Wall Street elite and raising hundreds of millions for their companies. In 2003, I created the VRA, my investment and economic newsletter that's been crushing the market for 14 years. We're not a brokerage firm. I tell you what stocks to buy using my proprietary VRA investing system, and then I tell you exactly when to sell and take profits. My system tracks the smart money, using a combination of fundamental and technical analysis, and only target stocks that have the ability to rise by 50% or more. For the first time, we're offering a free two-week membership to the VRA. You get my daily market commentary and special reports, including my number one recommendation, which is already up 300% this year. To receive your two free weeks, go to VRAinsider.com. That's VRAinsider.com. If you act now, you also get my new book, Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. I look forward to helping you crush Mr. Market at VRAinsider.com.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Good afternoon. The weather today is sunny with a high near 75 and calm winds. Tonight it'll be mostly clear with a low around 51, light northwest winds. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 82, light northwest winds. Tuesday night will be a slight chance of showers after 3 a.m., but it'll be mostly partly cloudy with a low around 56 and southwest winds 3 to 5 miles per hour. There's only a 20% chance of precipitation. Wednesday, a chance of showers mainly between 9 and 3, and that's most of the day, and mostly cloudy with a high near 78. Light and variable winds, chance of precipitation is 30%. Wednesday night, a slight chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a low around 63. Same thing Thursday, a chance of showers after 9 a.m., mostly cloudy with a higher near 82. And a chance of showers Thursday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 63.
Come on.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright. And before we get started today, I'd just like to take a second to have a moment of silence for the people we lost on 9/11, 16 years ago today, in the Twin Towers, in Flight 93 that crashed into Pennsylvania, and down in Washington, D.C. So if you just bear with me for a moment, we'll just have a moment of silence. Thank you. This is NAMI's hour. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We have no office. We work out of our houses. And someone once told me that working out of your house is pretty good because there's no car jam ups, no traffic jams. I mean, unless your wife gets in the way of going from the living room to the dining room. But other than that, it's fine. And what we do in Hunterdon County is we try to help people who have someone either in their family or someone they work with or know or friends with who have a mental health issue. And we do it in various ways. We run a support group monthly, the third Thursday of every month at 52 East Main Street in Flemington. It's from 7 to 9, and you don't have to register for that. We run a family-to-family class, which hopefully will start this Thursday, the 14th. And that's a 12-week course where we try to teach families and people who have someone that they know, or it doesn't have to be blood, but someone that they know or relative who has mental illness. And, you know, something like medications, side effects, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do in certain situations. And in some way, try to have the person taking the class realize what it's like to be the person with the illness. Everything we do is free, but you do have to register for the family-to-family class. And that's real easy. All you have to do is call 908. I'll give you Doug's number. Okay, that's 908-304-40408. That's 908-304-40408.
48.
48, I'm sorry, 4048. I had it written down right, I just read it wrong. And it's Doug Williams. And if you want to take the class, if you call Doug, and he will get you registered. We're very privileged today to have with us Fern Fine. You there, Fern?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, we hear you even. That's good. Fern is a, we're doing Fern by phone because she's down in Atlantic City someplace, right? Atlantic County?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
By the casinos? Or?
Yep, I'm the vice president of NAMI Atlantic Cape May County.
Okay. I'm vice president of NAMI Hunterdon County. How's that?
Well, pleased to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too. And we're going to talk, Fern is a, you know, like she said, a member of NAMI Atlantic County, and she's a former family support group meeting facilitator, like I am, and a family-to-family program teacher, like I am. And she and her husband, Scott, are also New Jersey's only NAMI Smarts for Advocacy workshop facilitators. We also have with us Doug Williams. He's a Hunterdon family-to-family teacher. Has been active in NAMI support groups for about 10 years, since his 29-year-old son was first diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And Doug will be hosting NAMI's first Smarts for Advocacy program in our area on Saturday, November 11th. It's a pleasure to have you both here. Fern, I have a lot of questions, so if you'd like to start, you know, give us a little history about yourself and how you got involved in NAMI. That would be great.
Sure. No problem. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share my story. So, NAMI is solely responsible for helping me have some kind of grounding in the face of crisis as it relates to mental health and psychosis. So I have a 31-year-old son who started to show signs of change at 19. It appeared to be a lot of marijuana usage, dabbling in other recreational drugs, and the behaviors that we noticed, my husband and I, were mostly withdrawn, pretty flat, no desire to do anything, looked like depression. However, he was still eating, he was still showering, he was still doing things that you'd think somebody wouldn't be doing if they were depressed. So it appeared to be more of a drug issue, so we went the tough road with tough love, and we booted him out. Booted him out the house, and suddenly realized something went very south. Then I saw behaviors that were really odd and peculiar, things that just were unexplained. Stepping over the cracks in the sidewalk, barricading himself in his house, seeming paranoid, stuff that we just hadn't seen. And so these kinds of behaviors got progressively worse over a 10-year period, incarceration for 7 months, and talking about very strange and odd things along the way. So obviously it was more than just drug usage.
Right.
Anyway, NAMI was available in our county, and so I went to my very first meeting. I did a lot of crying. I was scared, and the thought of a serious mental illness wasn't even something that was part of my thinking, let alone hearing the word schizophrenia or bipolar disorder. I mean, I was in such denial that it could ever be any of those things. Long story short, I jumped right in to the 12-week family-to-family program. It was very hard information to listen to because it was painful. It's painful realizing that someone you love so dearly, especially when it's your child, could have such a serious problem. It felt like there was like no light in sight at the end of the road. It felt like death. So I jumped in. I went to the first three classes. And then I bailed out because it just didn't seem like it was fitting for me. A few more years passed, things got worse, hospitalizations. Again, I went back to NAMI, and finally I took the full 12-week program, and it transformed my life. I insisted that my husband participate with me because I didn't think our marriage would ever survive the backlash that comes with dealing with a loved one that has psychotic break and winds up so sick in your household. Very difficult. So NAMI's family to family pretty much saved my life. And once I got to the last class, I thought, well, now what am I going to do? So I had to become active in the NAMI program as far as facilitating so that I could constantly be reminded of what I need to do, of where to go, of what comes next, and what to do in the case of a setback. And in the process of understanding how you can take two steps forward and three steps back and one step forward and two steps back, I've been able to support other families, which always gives me strength. And my son happens to be doing very well for the last 3 years because he's been medication compliant. He stays on his medicine. And he totally made that decision. So where we are now is learning how to help others, basically, in the same kind of process.
Right. I can understand perfectly, and I know Doug can also, because we're both parents who have sons who have mental illness. My son not only is schizophrenic, but he's also been epileptic since he's five. So between seizures and medications interacting with his epileptic medication and his psychotic medication. It's been, let's just say, a long journey to get where we are today. As I was saying to Doug before we went on the air, we were just talking, and I said, you know, my son, he's the youngest of four kids we have. We have two other older brothers and a sister, and he's our youngest. And he spent almost three years in the hospital. He spent about almost 19 and a half months in Trenton Psych, and then he transferred him to Hagedorn, where he was there for another 12, 13 months. And he had, prior to that, he was in Carrier. I couldn't think of the name of it. Carrier Clinic for 28 days till my insurance ran out. Then they transferred him to Trenton, and they went to Hagedorn. And when he got out of Hagedorn, he was in and out more times than we care to count. And so we know exactly what you're saying and what you what you went through. We also, my son right now has been very good. We was telling Doug that he's had his own apartment for the last, I want to say, almost 6 years. He religiously takes his medication. I think part of that is because he's been on medication since he's five with epileptic. And so he, takes it. And he has a part-time job. He works at BJ's 3 to 4 days a week. And he volunteers one day at the local hospital. So, and a lot of the people in the hospital and everything know him, and they consider him a success story. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that it's the good times right now, and you enjoy the good times, because who knows? He could have another downfall or whatever, So, and I know that it's tough because the first, I want to say, almost 5-6 years that my son was ill, I wouldn't talk about it. My wife would want to talk to, about it and so on and so forth, and I would go in the other room and read a book, or I'd get in the car and go down to the truck stop and get coffee, because I just wouldn't, not that I didn't love him, I would have done anything short of murder to cure him, but I just couldn't talk about it. And finally, my wife drugged me, literally, to intensive family support services here in Hunterdon County, is run out of the hospital. And a lady there at the time is long since retired, but she taught me how to deal with it and how to accept it and et cetera. So then my wife had taken the family-to-family class 3-4 years before I did. And then I took it, and the lady who was running it, Marilyn Goldstein, she says, oh, you gotta, teach it. And I says, what? what are you kidding? I barely got out of high school, let alone teach it, And she says, no, And so I did. I took the training, and in fact, I took it with Kathy, Katie, her and I sat next to each other. I'm looking at Doug because he taught with Katie last time. And been teaching it since, and been running support groups and doing presentations. And about 7 years ago, they approached NAMI 104, the radio show. So I know what you're saying. We know what you've been through. The thing, too, that I notice when teaching family to family or going through doing a support group is I come out of there and I feel like I'm lucky compared to some of the people and their stories, and how much worse it could be or how much worse it could have been, so it's a long journey, and it's one you face every day. So, but I would like to know what NAMI Smarts for Advocacy is. I never heard of it, and I've been involved with NAMI for 20 years, and I never heard of that program. So if you could elaborate a little bit about what it is and who it helps and how long it's been in existence, et cetera.
So NAMI Smarts for Advocacy is a fairly newer program for NAMI. It is a workshop where it's different than the 12 weeks of family to family. Mm-hmm. So it's taught in three separate modules,
okay,
either in three different days or all in one. We happen to be running a full-day workshop of 8 hours in Hunterdon, like you said, on the 11th of November.
Okay.
And it's grassroots advocacy. We talk about grassroots because grassroots is from the bottom up, which involves the family. So it's about using your voice, sharing your personal story to move and influence policymakers. The program gives you step-by-step tools and hands-on practice so that you need to feel clear and confident and ready to make that difference when you decide to step up to the plate and speak out. So why do we need advocacy? So here's why. People have huge difficulty telling their stories. Like you said, it was something you didn't want to talk about.
Right.
It's a heavy conversation. So people have difficulty talking about it because of the nature of behaviors associated with mental illness, particularly mania and delusion, psychosis. Nobody teaches us what they are or how to handle them. People and their families are fractured by the devastation of crisis brought on by a psychotic break. Many hopes and dreams are lost when these types of events happen, you know. Milestones. I didn't get to see my son go to the junior prom. He never went to a school dance. You know, he never got to walk down the aisle and graduate. He did wind up, however, with a GED eventually.
Mm-hmm.
The goal of the program is to teach tools and skills in simple communication rather than reciting some long-winded story that few elected officials have time for or even would care to listen to. So the program is taught in three modules. They're in three separate two-hour programs.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is called Telling Your Story, which real stories are the motivator, the potent motivator for legislators. So Telling Your Story guides us through this writing and delivering concise and compelling versions of your story that'll act like a springboard for advocating, you know.
Right.
So we teach everybody how to shorten their story to maybe like three sentences. I mean, you know, we could go on and on about it, but we don't need to when we're trying to really get our point across in just a minute. Module two is about emails and phone calls. And we show you how to write emails that get attention and make phone calls that policymakers will remember.
I have to tell you, I have to inject in here 1 second. Mm-hmm. NAMI New Jersey asked me a couple years ago, don't ever go to Trenton because you'd set mental health back 100 years. I have a thing with politicians. I just say what I think, and a lot of times they don't like what I say. So they asked me, you know, because I'm not very diplomatic sometimes. I just come out and say what I think and tell them what I really think. And, you know, so I find it interesting that your part of your program is how to tell a story to a policymaker, you know.
Yeah, without sounding angry or
right.
Condescending or, you know, pushy or with it really does take the emotion or the sensitivity out of it when you really can bring it down to a couple of sentences.
Right.
However, there is a way to put your story together where it does move the policymaker because, yeah, they you know, they don't want to hear nothing, all the complaints.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting how we can communicate without sounding like we're complaining. So in module two, where we do teach people how to put the subject, what to put in the subject area of the email, and how to make phone calls is really interesting. And the third module is meeting your legislator. So we want to meet our policymakers, and we want them to deliver results for us. So meeting your legislator demonstrates how to orchestrate a successful dialogue with elected officials, like an elevator speech, you know, like mm-hmm. something real short.
Right.
We find that when people complete the program, they are so empowered. It really does clear up any of the what ifs and should I and shoulda, woulda, coulda, those mm-hmm. kinds of things.
Right.
And the beauty in it is it's once you learn how to use the skills and have the tools, you can use it in all areas of your life, not just in the mental health conversation or not just with policymakers.
Right.
You can use it in every day when you need to advocate, you know.
Mm-hmm. Doug, I understand that we're going to have the first Smarts for Advocacy program in Hunterdon County and coming up shortly. Is that correct?
Yes, we have it coming up on the 11th.
Of November,
to,
right?
11th of November. I was able to hook up with Fern, and I've kind of invited people from both Hunterdon and Somerset County
okay.
to participate. And since Fern comes from such a long distance down in southern New Jersey, we felt it was best to do it on a Saturday. So we'll have a, you know, 8-hour session.
Okay.
And I'm very anxious to see this. I've heard some good things about it, and I spoke to Fern a couple of times. And it was odd when, you know, because I asked Larry, have you taken any? He said, well, I never heard of it. But it is on the website. It's under programs, and you drill down. But, of course, those of us who have been involved with NAMI for a long time probably don't look at the website for specific things, maybe just news and things like that. So, you know, I think it's going to be a great thing. I mean, when I think of NAMI, support, education, and really the third prong is the advocacy.
Sure.
Which I think is very important to help advocate, you know, even at a, like Fern had said, at a grassroots level, because we do have Phil Lovitz, who is mm-hmm. really, he's in charge of more of the higher up legislative things in Trenton. And of course, we have people in, you know, NAMI in Washington that advocate as well. But, you know, at the local level, I think it's important to keep that thing going, to keep people apprised of what NAMI is, what, you know, that mental illness is all around us, whether we want to admit that or not.
Right, right.
And so that I think this is going to be a great program for us. There's been, you know, a lot of people in Hunterdon that I know and Somerset that have been around for a long time and could really gain a lot from this program.
How many folks do you have signed up for?
Well, right now we have 14 people signed up, with a couple more people that are not 100% committed yet. And I every couple days I get another call. So
I'm going to let... That's great.
You know, I told Fern it would be 14, but... And I actually owe her some names and things like that, so I'll be doing that after the radio program.
There you go. Fern, do you have a capacity for how many you have in a class?
Oh, we can teach anywhere from 12 to 150.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So it's
the kind of program where
a larger room.
It's very organized and... It works out beautifully.
Yeah, like Doug says, if you got 150, he's going to need a larger room, you know. But
yeah, we'll squeeze them in.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, that's awesome because, like I said, I've never heard of it. I've been in NAMI for 20 plus years, a little over 20 years, and you know, I have never heard of it. And how long has it been around now?
You know what? It's relatively newer.
Okay.
Scott and I were trained a couple years ago.
Okay.
We were invited by NAMI National to represent the state of New Jersey. So we are the only two teachers in the whole state.
Okay.
That's why it's great that we have this on the radio so that people can come from anywhere. I mean, it's all of New Jersey is invited. And it's a wonderful opportunity to learn how to really have courage in speaking out. I mean, not everybody has the confidence to say what they feel and say it in a way that it's heard without, getting mixed up and confused and crying and all that, because it's a very serious conversation. Very hard to talk about, and imperative that we talk about it. It's been way too long that we've pushed mental illness under the rug and kind of, ignored it and figure it's somebody else will do something about it. That can't happen anymore. I refuse to sit back and be pushed around by anybody that comes at me with the HIPAA conversation or they can't do this and they won't do that. I really have a very limited tolerance for anybody that's not willing to help me in any area with regarding resources. It doesn't matter if it's the local policeman or my next door neighbor or the nurse at the hospital or the clerk at the desk in any place.
Right.
No matter where I am in public, I'm always aware of who's around me and if they have a mental illness, because one in four have a serious mental illness. It's everywhere. Every family has it, whether we want to admit it or whether
not,
we want to look at it, whether we see it. Crazy Uncle Bob is crazy for a reason. It's not because we think he's funny or because he does weird things. It's because he probably has a mental illness.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. Is there a cost for the program?
The program is free.
Okay.
So, it's, a great opportunity to get an education for free, and it definitely gives you the muscle to know how to be heard.
Okay. And what has your experience been as an advocate, and have you taken groups to Trenton?
So, I haven't been to Trenton, but I've been to Washington, D.C. My husband and I were invited to Capitol Hill to meet with senators and congressmen regarding signing a bill for more psychiatrists in children and adolescents.
Mm-hmm.
We have a big shortage in this country regarding psychiatrists. And I don't know what the story is with that. I don't know why we have such a shortage. However, I'm hoping that our family docs will be able to help us more one day, because it seems like psychiatrists are becoming obsolete. Because, people think that psychiatrists talk to their patients. They really do very little talking.
Right.
They're not therapists. They're pharmacologists. They're doctors that can prescribe medication, period. So I think family docs will be able to do that eventually. So we were there advocating for a bill to be passed where there was a $30,000 scholarship for each person committed to going on furthering education for children and adolescent psychiatry. Of course, the earlier we diagnose mental illness, the earlier it gets treated, the better mental health that the person has. Just like diabetes, treat it sooner, it doesn't get out of hand.
Right. No, I understand perfectly, and unfortunately, with three other children prior to my son, my youngest son, and some of the things, looking back, hindsight's always 20/20. So when you're looking back, we were saying, he's a teenager, and he's doing things that, teenagers do, And it's just sad that, you know, we can't diagnose sooner, you know, and that they have to have a complete breakdown. You know, my son attempted suicide twice. So, you know, and that's what caused him to be hospitalized for almost 3 years, was the last attempt at suicide. You know, and when you do this, excuse me, I get a little emotional sometimes, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, when someone does this, and, you know, like you were saying earlier, you don't anticipate these things happening. You know, when you've got a baby, you're thinking, oh, well, you know, he or she'll grow up, they'll be a doctor, a lawyer, or a bookkeeper, whatever, you know, and then something happens and, you know, they barely get out of high school and, you know, forget college, you know. In some cases, they do go on to college. I know people who have daughters and sons who have graduated college. But I also know that after they graduate, they didn't do anything, you know, and that their illness just takes hold of them. And it is so sad. And then the stigma attached to it is, you know, earth-shattering. You know, it's just sad. And that's what we have to try to get through. We have to break through the stigma. We have to get people telling their stories, like you said. And it's one of the reasons why NAMI accepted to do this radio show, that we could get people on who we can talk to about and, you know, get the word out, you know, because a lot of people ask me why I do all these things that I do with NAMI and, you know, everything and the show. And I say, well, if I can help one person not go through the hell that my wife and I went through, then it's all worth it, you know. And I'm sure it's the same with you. If you get one person that you can help tell their story or go to the legislature or go to, you know, then it's all worth it, you know. I'm sure. Now, when you're leveraging the nationwide grassroots network, is there different policies or priorities at federal level, as I'm sure as local level, but say state level and federal level?
Well, that's a big question.
Okay. you can break down the answer into two parts then if you want.
It's a big question. Well, I think that federal policies regarding mental health, I'm not really involved mm-hmm. at the federal level. My right. husband has been involved at the judicial level,
okay,
at the state level, and I've just, from witnessing what he's been dealing with, he's been on a board where he has been active in the decriminalization law in New Jersey
mm-hmm.
For behaviors associated with mental illness. So I think that it's a very slow process that's been a long time coming. I think that money is, of course, always the root of all evil and the issue. It's just a matter of, you know, what to do with people that have mental illness. They need to be cared for. We need more housing. I mean, I think this is nationwide, the majority of people that are homeless I don't really know the statistics, but I'm going to put myself out there and say that the majority of people are homeless due to dual diagnosis,
absolutely,
mental illness along
with
drug addiction.
I agree 100%.
And I think that being homeless just makes every disease worse. So
mm-hmm.
I don't think that anyone needs to be homeless, not in a country of wealth like ours. And I don't think that there's any money out there federally to house everybody. So somebody's got to make a difference here. You know, NAMI is supported solely by contribution.
Right.
the pharmaceutical companies are the ones that have been really keeping us going. And I that's all I can say about that.
What about parity, fairness in mental health, and health coverage, and so on and so forth?
Well, so
I mean,
we
if someone
very near,
you know,
Patrick.
If we take, you know, someone takes the course, and their mission is to try to get parity for health coverage for people with mental health issues, you know.
So when we belong to NAMI, you know, I'm sure you get emails saying support this bill,
mm-hmm.
PDL number 304 for, you know, whatever the
right.
law that we're trying to get passed is. And if we all push the button and say yes, if we all just answer a floating email that's coming to us, it makes a difference. So when it comes to advocating and putting yourself out on the court instead of sitting back in the stands and letting everybody else do the work, it's a very simple thing to do. This program has you be prepared in a short period of time on what to say, how to say it, and just to actually do it. So whatever your mission is, whatever you're involved in, and whatever you want to see, whatever changes you want to see happen, anything's possible taking
right.
this program so that you have like a shortcut, shorter version.
Right, that's great. Doug, do you have anything you want to add to this? Or?
Well, you know, I was going to say, when, you know, like Fern, I haven't been as formal with it, but whenever I hear something from a neighbor or a coworker or a family member that's somewhat derogatory, I always kind of push back
mm-hmm.
and try and be nice about it. And I'm not always nice about it, but and explain, you know, people have different problems, different illnesses, and you know, just step back and think about what it would be like for you if you were in this situation. And I did have a relative who said, oh, you're teaching the family-to-family course because of my son. And I said, well, yes, but also my daughter, who has had periodic depression, mild depression. And I said, you. And they're like, me? There's nothing wrong with me. I said, well, I'm saying you go to a psychiatrist for medication, you have some depression, you go see a therapist, and that's fine. You have a mental illness. It's mild. Be you know, count your blessings that
mm-hmm.
it is mild.
Right.
Because other people have more serious mental illness, whether it be bipolar or schizophrenia or you know, any of the other major illnesses. But, you know, I try to make them understand that it's a lot more common than a lot of us think. And when you
yep.
think of somebody saying the word, quote unquote, crazy, well, maybe they're behaving in a way because they have a certain situation that they can't control it. So it's what I try and do most of the time.
Right. And I try to tell people, too, that a lot of times people have all the attributes of a mental illness, and they have the chemical imbalance of the brain, like, yeah. But they go through life and never take medication and never wind up in a hospital, have a job, have a family, and everything's fine. Others have it, and all it takes is a trigger of some sort, whatever it may be, some, you know. And I when I do a presentation once in a while, I'll make the I'll tell a short little story about somebody who married, 3 kids, master's degree, wonderful job, high-paying job, and one day he lost his best pen. That set him off. So it doesn't have to be a massive thing. He wound up in a hospital. He wound up losing his job. He was, you know, And all because he lost his best pet. Now, you know, does it sound a little strange? Yes, but that was the trigger. In other cases, I know somebody that had a car accident and their husband died in their arms and they won't ever get in a car again, ever, you know. And it's, you know, different things, different triggers, you know. And they're not all big and they're not all small. You know, it could be everyday life and, you know, like losing your pen. You know, only in this gentleman's case, it was the trigger that wound up putting him in a hospital. So, you know, there are, I don't know, I want to say different situations, yes. But, and like, again, not everybody that has the chemical imbalance and, you know, lean towards mental illness actually falls over the edge and has a breakdown. And
so I totally get what you're talking about. I mean, you know, mental illness is falls in a spectrum of lots of different areas. There's, you know, the intensity of it can be small things to really, really big things. And when it comes to advocating, especially, you know, at the level of politics, mm-hmm. you don't have to know anything about policies or politics to participate in this program or to advocate. You don't have to, I mean, I'm not politically involved. I'm not a political person. I'm just a mom who's willing to go to the ends of the earth for her kid.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing changes that. So I take my lived experience and my passion about my interest in making a difference out there in the world. And the only reason I do that is selfishly, because it gives me complete pleasure to be able to help others. So I selfishly help other people for my own pleasure. And it keeps me strong, because like you said, you know, there's always, you're always waiting kind of for the other shoe to drop, even mm-hmm. when things
even
are going
things
really
are great.
Well.
Right, right. And hopefully they go well for a long period of time, you know, but sometimes
years,
they don't. You
years
know?
And years, just like with addiction and sobriety. People could be on the wagon for a long time and fall off. I mean,
exactly.
Mental illness, it doesn't discriminate. It comes when it comes, and it leaves when it leaves. And medicine does help, but it's not the sole solution. It's only
no.
responsible for
right.
like 30% of the patient's wellness.
Right.
Environment means something, and family. Unfortunately, people with mental illness often burn their bridges with their loved ones, and then people get scorned, and they stay away from these sick individuals that live underneath the boardwalk or
mm-hmm.
at the train station in any one of our towns. And that is a disgrace. And I understand it. I understand why it happens. I've seen it happen over and I've done it. However, knowing the seriousness that I know about mental illness that I now understand, and thinking that my son, if had I abandoned him, for the long haul, he would never be where he is now with his progress, because we all need someone that cares about us deeply.
Right, right. And unfortunately, there is a lot of people with mental illness who, like you said, have either severed the ties with their family or they don't have family.
Yep.
And that's the sad part, you know. However,
not to cut you off,
okay.
those people that have no family, there are resources out there for people that will care about them.
Right, that's what I was getting to. Yes,
up? Yeah,
sure, sure. And they're all and they're different in every county, but they're all pretty much the same. You know, for
advocating
helping people.
Advocating is advocating.
Advocating is advocating, regardless of what the title they go by. You know.
Yeah.
I know we have. In Hunterdon County, there's intensive family support services out of the hospital, which is totally free. And, you know, you can go three times, not go for a year, and go back and start again, you know. But and they in Somerset County, it's the same thing. Only I think they go under a different name. But it's all these organizations that can help people
and the general public. You know, I don't know about you. I don't run from people that have mental illness. I run to them. I go to them. When you're in public, and we see it all the time. I mean, when you're out there in public and someone is different than we are, mm-hmm. and they say things or look a certain way, and you can tell there's something not right about them or different, I don't run from it.
I don't either.
I tend to run to it. And I encourage all people. There's like a domino effect that happens. If you smile, everybody else smiles around you. And so I find that I'm sort of like a magnet to people that have these issues. And then their family members somehow find me wherever I am. Because as soon as there's a little opening where someone can get in and tell me something about their situation, of course they love to have a listening ear on the other end.
Sure.
So I'm very empathetic, and I have a lot of patience and tolerance when it comes to this is a very important part of humanity.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. you know, the more people that realize that people with mental illness didn't raise their hand and ask for it. You know, my son didn't say, make me schizophrenic. You know, I want to be that way. It's unfortunate that people have this. And like I said, they didn't ask for it. Nobody wants it. And they're trying to make the best of their lives when they're dealing with it. And sometimes they make wrong decisions, put it that way, choose to do things not the way we as parents or society would like to see them do it. A lot of times there's many ups and downs. I can't tell you how many times my son was in the hospital. And that was after almost a 3-year period. He was in and out more times than we care to remember. He did, 6 months down in Trenton again at a separate hospital in Trenton. He in and out of Hagedorn when it was open up here numerous times. So it's unfortunate, but now he's doing well. It's you enjoy the days you can, when they are doing well. Because, like we said before, you never know when the other shoe may drop, But Doug, you have anything?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you mentioned Hagedorn a few times, and that was actually the first hospital that my son went to. He was had been treated for depression,
mm-hmm.
and he had a full manic episode, and they diagnosed it there. But Hagedorn is a place that should be reopened because,
absolutely.
You read things in the paper about Greystone and all the overcrowding in the mm-hmm. state facilities, and here was a place that had treated people for many, many years, and it's closed. And I think that's something that some people are now advocating to get that facility
and
reopened.
Hagedorn was the only state hospital that had a profit. It was the only one who was in the black and not the red.
Interesting.
Yes,
interesting.
And that's proven fact. But Hunterdon County doesn't have a lot of big politicians. So consequently, Bergen County, Morris County, Essex County, they have more of the political influence. And so we spent millions of dollars reestablishing Greystone, and look what happens.
Overcrowded and understaffed.
I understand all that, but I also know that I have gotten talking to parents whose son or daughter are in Greystone and have been over drugged.
Well, and we down here in the South, we have Ancora.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, yes, I go there at least once or twice a year and do a tour and listen to speakers and mm-hmm. visit. And I often speak to moms that have people, children, family members there for 20 years.
Yeah.
So we do, I agree, we do need facilities. We do need institutions. For temporary measure, people with mental illness need to be handled very gently because it's a very sensitive recovery. There's moods that are difficult to understand and work with. However, it's environmental. It's emotional. It's confusing, and so hospital settings are okay when you need them. I mean, you definitely need them.
And there's a lot of people that need them, you know.
For people that need them, but you know, we want to get people back into the community.
There. Right. No, I understand perfectly. But by the same token, there's a lot of people who are better off in the hospital than they are out in the community.
I agree.
And those people...
For the longer term.
Right.
For the longer term.
Exactly.
Until they get better.
Exactly.
Listen, it doesn't get better overnight. It could take years to get better.
Absolutely.
Every time I have a conversation with my son, he sounds different. Mm-hmm. He sounds better.
And this is the
he
whole
sounds
point.
Sharper.
Yeah, and this is the whole point about having... You know, like they have Greystone is so overcrowded and so shorthanded and so, you know... People are being abused. The patients are being abused. It's sad. And then they go and close a place like Hagedorn, which was very well run. And, you know, because my son spent many times in and out of there. But we have about a minute and a half left. If anybody is out there listening and wants a little bit more information from Fern, you want to give a email address or something that where they can reach out to you at?
Sure, sure. My email address is Fern, F-E-R-N, M as in Mary, Fine, F-I-N-E, at hotmail.com.
Okay. And that's...
Thank you.
Fern Fine, right?
Fern M Fine.
Fine. Oh, I'm sorry. M Fine. Okay.
Fern M Fine.
All right.
At
so
hotmail.
It's F-E-R-N as in Nancy, M as in Mary. Fine, F-I-N-E, at hotmail.com.
Correct.
Okay. Doug, you want to, if anybody wants to get a hold of you?
Sure, they can reach me at dhwilliams02@yahoo.com.
All right, that's dhwilliams02@yahoo.com, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Folks, I don't know where the time ran, but we've ran out of time. Fern, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on, and hopefully we can have you back again down the road.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
And, you know, anytime if you need something from Hunterdon County, just give us a call, you know.
I sure
Fern,
will.
Thanks. I'll see you. I'll be seeing you on the 11th of November.
And I'll see you then.
And hopefully he'll give you some names before then, like he said he would.
Yeah, he will.
Yeah.
I'm sure he will. All right. Take care. Be well. Thank you.
You too. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Folks, we'll be back again next week, same time, same station. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. See you next time.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908 284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heide & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want.